because it's anchored a little bit better than feelings of love or than the sense of love, right? So we hang on to faith, and we also hang on to hope, our eternal hope in the Lord. And I find myself holding on to those things more, I think, because they're more solid. I know in the last 9 months with this walk of this journey we've had with my mom and her pancreatic cancer, I've been holding on as hard as I can to faith and to hope, saying, God, you are my source. I'm just throwing myself at the Lord, and I've been just hanging on to him. And as I'm doing that, God's working in my life, and I'm becoming a better man and a better father and a better husband, a better pastor, a better minister. But then I read this, which I've read umpteen million times before, but it hit me afresh this week in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So these three remain, faith, check. If you go on the checklist, I was doing this. I'm like, okay, faith, I'm getting there. Yeah, check. Hope, check. Love, I'm like, sort of. But mostly check, right? I'm thinking. But then it says, but the greatest of these is love. So much of my journey recently has been hanging on to faith and hope so hard that it struck me I'm forgetting what's greater. There's something greater than our faith, greater than our hope. And it's love. If we go on to the next chapter, in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So here it even says that in order to minister more effectively, be a minister of God, faith, hope, they're helpful, but follow the way of love when you do these things. It's about love. See, we think, I'm going to be a great person of faith and I can do exploits for God. He says, if you're going to minister, you need love. You need love first. It's greater. So as I read these verses, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me afresh about this. And I think part of why we do this, why we hold on to faith and hope, is because it's easier to do that than to hold on to love. Because of the ups and downs of love. It's easier to hold on to faith and hope. You know, I kind of visualize it like this. Have you ever rock climbed indoors? How many people rock climb a little bit? A few of us. Well, you've all seen it, right? It's got those little holds and you hang on. Well, I kind of feel like faith and hope are those, you know, the handholds when you're starting. And you go out. And when I first started rock climbing indoors, I was 30 pounds lighter than I am now. And it was very, very easy for me to just pull up my frame with no trouble at all, with just my arms. And so my feet would kind of be dangling down as I just, you know, pull my way up this wall. Well, the problem is, after a while, your arms get tired. Or if you hit a bump in the wall, and it comes out, you can't just do this. And it's kind of like that with faith and hope. They're the things that I'm holding on to, but there's something that has to ground me a lot better than what these arms can carry. And it's like the footholds of love. If you don't get your foot in place, you don't get your foot on that foothold, your arms will wear out. And I believe it's like that with our faith and with our hope. If we have faith in God and hope in God, but we don't stand on the love of God, we're just going to lose it. We're going to fall off the wall. So our greatest source of support comes from this thing called love. It's the love foothold. And so it's the way of love. That's that chapter said, follow the way of love, the path of love. And I began to ask myself as I was going through this journey with God, when was the last time I prayed for God to fill me with his love? So many times I'm like, God, give me faith. I need faith. My hope is in you. When's the last time I asked for God to fill me with his love, that I become all that God wants me to be in his love? Whether it's my love for God or my love for other people, my love will always fade and falter if it is not God's love. If it is not God's love. And so we have to be filled with God's love. Just like faith and hope, which come from God, so the love that we need to walk in comes from him too. And that's the reason that love is the greatest. Of all these three qualities, faith, hope, and love remain. The reason love is the greatest is because while faith is rooted and anchored in Christ and God, and our hope is in God, the love, it's not just from him or through him or to him. It is him. God is love. And so when he fills us with his love, it's him. It's himself. It's God. And so if we have God living inside of us, what more do we need? That's why it's the greatest. That's why he says the greatest is love. Don't forget the greatest thing. It's the whole enchilada. It's the whole bag of chips. It's the whole nine yards. You want the whole deal, you got to have God's love fill your heart. Amen. Faith and hope are great, but without love, you don't have the real goods. You got to have love. So we need to ask God to fill us with this love. Because our love will fade and falter, like we mentioned, but there is a love that never gives up, never fails, never runs out. That's his love. So love is the whole thing. It's like when I tell my kids I love them. You know, there's this great storybook. If you're a parent or grandparent, you've probably seen it. It says, "Guess how much I love you." There's this little book about this bunny rabbit. And the daddy bunny rabbit saying, you know, "Guess how much I love you." And they go and measuring all these distances. And the little bunny goes, "You know, I love you this much." He's doing his arms as wide as he can. And the daddy bunny goes, "I love you this much." You know, his arms are much wider. Well, I play that game with my kids regularly. And when they're younger, you know, it was like, "I love you all the way to that stop sign and back." And they're like, "Whoa," you know. And, you know, now that they're getting older, they understand. They say, "Well, I love you all the way to the moon and back." And it's like, oh, "I love you all the way to Jupiter and back." And we keep going. But the winner, inevitably, is, "I love you to infinity and back." And it's like, oh, infinity. Like, you can't top that, can you? You can't say infinity plus one. They try, and I tell them that's not allowed. Because you can't top infinity. You can't top love. There's nothing greater. There's nothing bigger. It is the be-all and end-all. It's the highest. It's the best. The greatest is love. I used to think it would be great if my tombstone read, "Here lies a man of great faith." I'm beginning to realize that it would be much better for my life if it said, "Here, he loved much." He loved much. Because that meant that God's work in me was much more complete. So my prayer today is that the Lord would fill us all with a greater measure of his love. So let's follow the way of love this morning and look at how God's love is expressed through us. And I emphasize that word expressed because if love is not expressed, it is not love. Love has to be expressed in order to be proven true. It's the action that makes it come to life. 1 John 3:18 says, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." It has to be acted upon. You know, when I kiss my 2-year-old Asher, it's great. We've always told him that we love him, but now I just kiss him and he goes, "I love you too." See, he understands that when I kiss him, I'm telling him, "I love you." So love is an action. It's an action. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So love is the action. It's the deeds we do. James tells us that faith without works is dead. I think another way to put it, we could say faith without love is dead. Because love is the deeds. Love is the action. It's the expression of our faith. That's why it's greater. So if God lives in us, then we must follow the way of love and express the supernatural love of God. But it takes a supernatural move of God to get that inside of us, doesn't it? We need to pray daily for God to fill our hearts, to give us what we need to show his love in every situation because it doesn't come naturally. How many people know that showing God's love in every situation does not come naturally? It's supernatural. It has to be. Many of us express what is in our natural hearts, especially when times get hard and tough. When facing the difficult circumstances, pain, suffering, and injustice have a way of bringing the natural right up to the top, don't they? There's the dross. Let the Lord clean it off. That's what they're for. Let it boil it up. Let him take it off and let him fill you with something much better. So our natural responses to hardships are not going to cut it. We have to learn to express the supernatural love of God. So this morning I want to mention three natural expressions that we have that need to be replaced with God's supernatural expression of love. The natural expressions are going to liken to three different jobs or occupations. just to give it a little bit of form so we can understand this in our minds. Three well-respected jobs or roles that we must resign from in the natural in order to walk in the way of love. You ready for them? They are the judge, the lawyer, and the accountant. Sounds like a bad joke, doesn't it? A judge, a lawyer, an accountant walk into a bar. No. But if you're like me, you'll find that all three of these professionals, the judge, the lawyer, and the accountant, dwell within your little head. And we have to become like Donald Trump and say, you're fired. We have to put aside these natural expressions and put on the supernatural. So let's go through these one by one. First, we must put aside the judge and express God's love through forgiveness. See, that's the parallel. We put aside the natural judge and we express the supernatural love of God through supernatural forgiveness. See, the judge hears all the arguments based on the rule of law and the burden of proof before him and the upholding of justice. The judge demands justice and assigns guilt upon very deserving individuals, or so we think. The judge likes to clearly outline where every transgression has occurred and make indisputable assignments of guilt upon these deserving individuals. The problem is, this is not the way of love. It is not the way of love. Matthew 7, verse 1-2 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Lord have mercy. Okay, so maybe we're not perfect at this administration of justice thing, because we acknowledge we might be a little biased, right? There may be a little conflict of interest with me judging a situation where I'm the one getting offended. Okay, but follow me here, okay? This is the whole court scene. So maybe we say, okay, I'm not going to judge, but I'm going to take it to a jury of my peers. Okay, I'm not going to be the one to judge. I'm going to go and say, you know what he did to me? You know what she said to me? And try to get the jury to say, yeah, you're right. You have a right to be mad about that. Right? So we abdicate the judge role, but then we go to the jury role and try to get as many people of our peers to agree with us that this person is deserving. Problem is, when we do this, we sound a lot more like the accuser of the brethren than the Savior of our souls. Day and night, the accuser stands before God saying, you know what he did? You know what she thought? You know what they're doing right now? That's the accuser. And too many Christians are hauling one another up into heavenly small claims court. Seriously. And saying, God, this is wrong. What this person did was wrong. But the way of love is different. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." The way of love is to cover over the offense. We don't bring it up. Neither do we hold on to it. We let it go. We cover over it. We bury it in the ground and say, it's done. It's gone. I'm not even going to mention it to someone else. Because we want to promote love. We want to walk in the way of love. See, most offenses don't need to be confronted. That's where we got to fire that judge. Wants to have justice, so we want to confront every small offense. The way of love is to say no. Very few offenses have to be confronted and say, you know what you did to me and it really hurt me. Very few things. Grievous things need that. But most things, the way of love says, you know what? I'm just going to cover over that. It's not even worth thinking about. It's not worth holding on to. It's not worth dragging them into small claims court. Think bigger. Follow the way of love. Cover over offenses. So we need to learn to forgive. So we might say, okay, I'm going to forgive. And then we go from the judge to the jury to the parole officer. And we say, okay, God says you can get out, so I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to be watching you. If you mess up one more time, off to the slammer with you, pal. You see how desperately sinister our hearts are to try to find justice for our own benefit? We do this all the time. We watch the people that hurt us. We're looking for them to do it again so we can have cause again. But the way of love, true forgiveness, is so radical that it seems absurd. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I want you to see this. This portion of Jesus' teaching is also recorded after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, but we're going to read it out of Luke 6. The type of forgiveness that Jesus describes here, I have never understood. Let's start in verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you say, but I wouldn't do that to people. I wouldn't do that to people. Do unto others as they would have. And so you say, that surely doesn't apply to me because I wouldn't do that to people. See how radical this is, though? It seems absurd. Someone takes something from you, don't even ask for it back. It's the way of love. It's like Jesus is saying, don't stand up for yourself. Be a pushover. Let people take advantage of your love. That's what it sounds like. And we think, that can't be right. There must be some other scriptures that kind of counter that, right? To bring some balance to this thing. No. It's the way of love. I think we as a church have a long way to go to learn how to walk in the way of love. We have to get better at not demanding our rights, not defending ourselves. Now, love does defend others. 1 Corinthians 13, love always protects, especially those who can't protect themselves. That's love. But every time you step up to the plate for yourself to defend and protect, it's not the way of love. It's a different motivation. And God's saying, instead of doing it for yourself, let me stand up for you. Let me go to bat for you. Let God protect your interests. See verse 35 of Luke 6. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It's the way of love. Walking in true forgiveness. Not holding people's sins against them. Not even protecting ourselves when they hurt us. Not even demanding for something back when something of ours is taken. It's the way of love. We must ask God to fill us with this love because it is supernatural, isn't it? This is only supernatural. We need to ask God to fill us with this kind of love and then express this love through forgiveness. And Jesus gives us some very practical, helpful steps here. He says, to go beyond forgiving and loving by words alone. See, a lot of us do that. I forgive this person. I forgive this person. I forgive them. And you just say it and you try to walk in that forgiveness. Forgiveness, just like love, let us not forgive with words and with tongue, but with actions. That's what Jesus is saying here. Isn't it? He said, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Those are all action words to walk out forgiveness. To love, do good, bless, and pray for. If you do that for those who have hurt you, you will be walking in supernatural forgiveness. Because you can't bless someone and pray for them for very long before God changes your heart. and you walk in true forgiveness. So ask God to fill you with his love, but then take these steps that he gives you and watch the supernatural go boom right through you. This love will change you. We need God to change us. We need to follow the way of love. So we have to put aside the role of the judge, the jury, and the parole officer. Put aside those judge roles in your mind and express supernatural forgiveness. In that passage in Luke, it ended with, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." And that leads us to our second area that I want to talk about. We need to put aside the lawyer. The lawyer is a bit different than the judge, and I'll talk about that in a second. But we need to put aside the lawyer and express the supernatural mercy of God. See, the lawyer is kind of like a detective. Kind of like a little, you know, if you watch Matlock, he's sharp in the court, but he's also doing all his detective work, right, before that, so he can make his case. And the Sherlock Holmes or Matlock in your head is always going through these analysis things of trying to find out why someone is in the situation they're in. You see someone begging on the street. I wonder why that is. And we go through and we try to analyze and diagnose, like the lawyer, to diagnose the problem. And every time we do that, we assign not guilt like the judge, but we assign blame. When we diagnose situations, we assign blame. That's the job of the lawyer. Say, this is the reason why. It's the fault of this person. So we can't help ourselves. If the lawyer is working in our mind, it can't help but assign blame for the situation in which people find themselves. And then we either pardon ourselves because of that from extending supernatural mercy to someone, or we realize how big their problem is and we say, I really don't know how I can help anyway. And we kind of just excuse ourselves from showing mercy because we've assigned blame or uncovered a big problem, and we don't show the love in the mercy of God. It's difficult because it makes us uncomfortable. Dealing with life's messes in other people's lives is not something one desires to do on a regular basis, because life is messy. We all know that in our own lives, and we all know it from dealing with other people's messes. It's hard. And the lawyer doesn't want you to go there. The cons outweigh the pros. But you have to go there. You have to express the supernatural mercy of God, regardless of what people deserve. Because just as Clint Eastwood famously said, deserves got nothing to do with it. In mercy, deserves got nothing to do with it. We need to show mercy to people, regardless of what they deserve, regardless of how they got there. It has to do with just expressing the love of God, the supernatural love of God, to the people that we meet. Because the way of love says that we are to delight to show mercy. Delight to show mercy. Isn't that what he says? Oh man, you know what is good? What is the Lord required of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to love it. So we should be seeking out opportunities to show mercy instead of coming up with all the legal reasons why we shouldn't. That's the lawyer at work. Every time we see a situation, the supernatural love of God says, yes, I want to help. The natural says, just a second here. To put aside that lawyer and follow the way of love. On occasion, we see glimpses of this type of mercy at work in the lives of God's people, and it's outstanding. See Mother Teresa and her life given towards other people. We see it in our new Pope. Did you know that? Pope Francis. He's an amazing man. This is him at an AIDS hospital, kissing the feet of AIDS patients. Kissing their feet. And if you know anything about the man, you know he didn't do this for a photo op. This is his life. His life is showing mercy to people, compassion to people. It's refreshing to see people like that, given that position, acting like their Savior does. See, that's how Jesus lived, isn't it? That's how Jesus did it. You know, in the first week, once he became Pope, he was supposed to come to this big concert for his benefit and honor, and all the other cardinals were there, and the concert started, and the Pope wasn't in his seat. And they're like, where's the Pope? The show was started. He was outside ministering to the people. He knew he was supposed to be in there, but he knew actually he was supposed to be about his Father's business. He has mercy on people. See, Jesus was like that. The religious leaders could not understand why Jesus would hang out with the riffraff, the prostitutes, with the tax collectors, with the sinners. Jesus loved the title friend of sinners because he delighted to show mercy. If I do a truthful analysis to myself, I would be Jesse, friend of churchgoers. Honestly, I'm asking the Lord to help me change. Of course, the church is full of sinners too, so I can get off a little bit. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short. But that's not the kind of sinners we're talking about. We're talking about the kind that are down and out, that need the supernatural of mercy of God to touch their lives. We need to get better at this. If our light isn't shining outside these four walls, then we've missed it. We're going to be doing an increasing number of local outreaches over the next period of time, over the next year. I really encourage you, do all you can to be part of that. We're really thrilled that so much mission work goes out from this place. We really are. That's part of the Great Commission. But in a sense, it's easier to go abroad. Harder to do it right here. So we're going to be doing it more right here. I encourage you, join with us. Join with us. Allow God's supernatural mercy to flow through you. It has to go. See, it's in our hearts to do it, isn't it? All of us. It's like, yeah, it's in our hearts. It has to go beyond our hearts. It has to go into action. Otherwise, it's not love. So I hope you're ready. Hope you're ready. You know what? When you do, when you care for the needy, when you extend mercy, something amazing happens. Something amazing happens. You get changed. You get strengthened. You get provided for. Scripture says, he who gives to the needy lends to the Lord. You know, Benjamin Franklin once said, God helps those who help themselves. And it's not in the Bible. This is a Benjamin Franklin quote. But it's easy for us to get caught up in our self-reliance, isn't it? To think, I'm the one pursuing God, so therefore I deserve what he's giving me. You know what the truth is? The way of love goes beyond our natural ability. The way of love says this, and I found this to be true in my life. God helps those who help other people. Amen. If you want a scriptural principle, God helps those who help others. So many times I've been weak, tired, lacking what I needed, and God says, go minister. And I'm like, I don't even have what it takes for this frame. But he says, go. And as I go and as I minister, it's supernatural. That's what we have to be walking in, the supernatural. In the natural, we don't have it. It's supernatural. So start giving out as God leads you. And you will find yourself filled to overflowing. He gives me more than I need for the moment, and it spills over into the rest of my week. That's the supernatural power of God. When love comes in your heart and changes you, that's what happens. So, we've got rid of the judge. We've given the lawyer his pink slip. Finally, we need to learn to put aside the accountant and express the supernatural generosity of God to other people. It's about generosity of spirit. Especially in our relationships. See, the accountant that lives inside my head is constantly giving me an updated report of resource status. Resource levels low. When I'm financially tight, the accountant in my head says, I can't give anymore. When I'm tired, my accountant tells me, you have no more energy to spend, especially on other people's problems. When I'm busy, my accountant tells me that I'm running dangerously low on time and it must be conserved. When I'm stressed, my accountant tells me that the little grace that I have left will soon be exhausted. And therefore, I become a grouch. Because I have to keep the little bit of grace and sanity that I have left. And I don't have any to spare on other people. That's the work of the accountant in your head. Any of you have an accountant that works inside your head too? The problem with the accountant is that it lives in a world of scarcity. It lives in the natural, where there are dwindling resources. And everyone running around trying to get their piece of the pie. And so it's always limiting. The accountant is always limiting. Limiting how much I spend and give. Limiting how far I go. Limiting how fast I go. Limiting how much I do. Limiting how much I love. That's what the accountant in your head will do. It's like a governor on your car. You know, a governor is a device that sets a maximum speed on your vehicle. If it's placed on your car, you can rev that engine all you want. It won't go any further. A lot of us have that in here. We have a governor, and it's not the Holy Spirit. Well, hopefully it is, but in the natural, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's this accountant that's in here that says, you can't go anymore. Can't give anymore. And it's always resisting because it's the flesh. And it's always resisting the move of God because it says, you can't, you can't, you can't. Tell you what, love can. Love never fails. Love never gives up. Love can do this. So the accountant is really important to get rid of. We have to fire the accountant. Any accountants in here? Sorry. No harm meant. We're thankful. It's the accountant in our heads that tells us we can't. We have to start living a bit like a crazy person. You know, if you ignore your accountant's advice and say, life's for living. If you do that in the Spirit, life gets really interesting. You're not going on a whim, you're following the Spirit. But if you love like crazy, if you love like crazy beyond what your accountant says you can afford, if you love like that, look out. Watch what God will do. I'm not talking about going into financial debt. I'm talking about living a life of love. It'll cost you everything you have in the natural. That's why the accountant light keeps blinking. It'll cost you too much. It'll cost you everything you have. And that indicator light keeps saying, in the movie Madagascar, the penguins are flying this plane. It's a cartoon. And this bulb is bleeping at them. He goes, diagnosis. He goes, it's a red incandescent light that I find somewhat hypnotic. He's like, all right. So he says, manual. Takes a manual and smashes it. He goes, problem solved. Then the plane crashes. Okay? We need to extinguish the indicator light that goes off in our head every time God says, do this. And the accountant says, warning. Warning. Smash the light. See what God will do. It's about supernatural generosity to have grace and kindness of God, especially to those closest to us. I like how Chuck Dorenzo finished this scripture, which says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for orphans in Haiti, than he lay down his life for people you don't know on the street. No. The verse is, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You think the greater love is out there, the greater love is right here. Take your close friendships. That's where the rubber hits the road. Starting with your marriage, if you're married. Ask God to help you fire the accountant that limits how gracious you are to the people around you. We often think we need to give of ourselves. We think that's what love is. And in our own flesh, that is what love is. It's giving of ourselves. But really, we need to give of himself. Because if I give of myself to you, that's a pretty lousy gift. So I don't have anything worthwhile. In and of myself, I don't have. I only have if he gives me. And that's why Peter and John say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. We need to give out of what we have in the Spirit. We need to give out of the love that he's put in our heart. So when we give of ourselves, don't think of it of giving of this account that keeps draining. Think about it as giving, writing checks off of the heavenly account. His checks never bounce. So when you give of yourself, give of himself. You write checks on his account and it'll go through every time. So give of himself in your life. Allow God's love to fill you. So we have to be filled with God's supernatural love in order to express grace and kindness to those around us. If we do, we'll be better spouses, better friends, better churchgoers, better church family. But remember, it has to be expressed, right? Just because you have God's love in you doesn't mean it does anyone any good unless it's expressed. That's our part. He'll do the filling if we ask him to. Our part is to express it. To express it. Give it expression. Especially to those closest to us. Especially. Work on that, those closest to you. Being generous in spirit. While I was preparing this message, the Lord was speaking to me about my choices when I'm tired in relation to my marriage. Instead of blessing my wife by cleaning the kitchen or whatever, when I'm tired, I usually just find a little bit of time to check the news or play chess on my computer or whatever. It's some me time, right? I just need some me time because I'm tired. I know the house is a mess and you're exhausted, but I'm tired too. So I'm going to have some me time. So the Lord was speaking to me about that as I was preparing this message. That was Friday morning. Friday night comes and it's 15 minutes till dinner. And things were a mess even on the table, but I'm like, hey, I got 15 minutes till dinner. And I go to play chess. I'm so thick. Okay, so I go to play chess. Well, the mouse on my wireless mouse freezes. I start banging it, you know. It ran out of batteries. And then I just started laughing. Because it was like the Lord was saying, interesting choice. You know that thing we talked about just this morning? Oh, I laughed him and thanked him for the object lesson, and then I went up and helped my wife in any way I could. See, it's too easy to try to love in the natural, but our natural love will fade and fail. I've learned a lot in the last 14 years. I've been married for 14 years. I've learned a lot of what it means to love and cherish my wife. I didn't know what that meant for the first few years of marriage, to cherish her. To be generous in spirit towards her. It only comes as you give, as you express. See, but generosity of spirit isn't just being nice. It's not just doing a nice thing. It's laying your life down. That's the way of love. And guys who are married, we need to get a lot better at this. Because the way of love says, the Lord says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Amen. He laid his life down for us. He did. We need to get better at that. But we have to fire the account that says, I just need some me time to recharge my batteries. Let God charge your batteries. It's way better juice anyway. Let him fill you with the love you need to give yourself up for one another, to lay down your lives for one another in your marriages, in your friendships, at church. We need to learn to lavish love upon one another, especially in marriage. Guys, lavish love on your wife like Christ does on the church. Don't be cheap and stingy. lavish. You actually get joy when you do it because it's expressing something greater in the heart of God. And express it. So much of what we do isn't expressed. We appreciate someone. How many times do we tell them that? Not often enough. They don't feel the love because the love's not flowing. It stays up here. We have to express it. Be generous in spirit. Lay down your life for your spouses, your families, your friends. Because the mystery is this. He who loses his life for the Lord will find it. But if you're busy with the scarcity mentality, trying to save what little life you have left, you will lose it. That's Bible. That's truth. If you lay down your life the way God's asking you to, you will find the life you did not know. You will find it because He'll give it to you. God saves some of His best surprises for those who learn how to love like that. He does. I've experienced just a fraction of it, and I want more. I want more. I want to follow the way of love. We all need to follow this way of love. And it means putting aside the judge, which assigns guilt, and instead expressing God's love through supernatural forgiveness. It means putting aside the lawyer, which tries to find blame and cause, and instead showing mercy to those who need it, regardless of what they deserve. And finally, we need to fire the accountant that keeps us in the constraints of our natural flesh. And let God's love be expressed through us to those around us in generosity of spirit, with grace towards one another, kindness in our marriages, our families, our close friends. It's only possible if we open up our hearts and let love in. It's only possible. Thankfully, God doesn't require us to be perfect. How many are thankful for that? God doesn't need you to be perfect to put this love inside of you. So stop trying to get there. This love will change you as you express it. He says, just start expressing it and let it change you. We think we need to be changed so we can express. Other way around. Express what He's given you and it will change you. And this love stands at the door of your heart and it knocks. It knocks. Will you let Him in? So in our journeys, in our walk with the Lord, beyond faith, beyond hope, which are very important in our life, there's something greater. Especially when things are challenging and difficult and the way becomes dark and winding. Ask God to fill you with this greater love. It's what you need to make it through. It's what you need to be that person, that man or woman of God that you want to be. You need His love. Ask Him to fill you with it and then express it. And let me tell you something. If God lives in you and this love gets inside of you, there's no stopping you. You've taken off the limits. You've taken off the governor. And you're saying, let's go. There's no stopping you. Because this love, His love, never fails. It never fails. And you'll be able to overcome not just your own personal challenges, failures, problems, but you will be an instrument and a conduit of God's love to those around you to help them live in this overcoming love as well. Because greater is He that is in you. Greater is His love that is in you than he that is in the world, than any problem you face. He's greater. His love is greater. His love is stronger. It's more powerful. Let's let it in today. Let's stand. May His love fill our hearts. I'm going to pray. Have the worship team come up. If you need God's love to fill your heart afresh, there's a prayer team here today that will minister and ask the God of love to fill you. We all need it. And we all need one another. And so let's make ourselves available to the Lord today and not miss His great love. Just hold out your hands. My great Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your great love. Lord, because love is this, not that we love You, but that You love us. Lord, we ask today that we would open our hearts, that we'd open the door to love that's there knocking. We'd open the door, we'd put aside the voices, the judge, the accountant, the lawyer that tries to limit us. Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to put aside the flesh and to receive Your love afresh today. Lord, let Your love fill Your church here today. Let Your love not just fill us, but Lord, go so far beyond these four walls. Lord, help us to express the supernatural love of God in forgiveness, in mercy, in generosity of spirit. Lord, we need this. We need it from You, Lord. We need You to change us. We need Your love to come in and rearrange us. So Lord, let Your love come into each heart today. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And in His love, we remain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer, please come forward.